As Brother Greg suggested to you at the beginning of the service, I've selected a subject today that deals with Paul's imprisonment chains. And in Acts 28 and verse 20, he gives the reason as to why he willingly accepted those chains. I'm wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. Powerful words from the Apostle Paul. In the bulletin today, I've included some biblical study information about the subject of chains as they appear in the Bible, because the Bible describes many different types of chains made of different material: gold, brass, silver, iron. And I've given the passages in today's bulletin. The Bible also describes many uses of chains in the Bible. You could study this subject for a very long time. Ornaments and chain on the high priest's breastplate and so forth. Fetters, attached to fetters or shackles in many instances. And also the Bible uses chains in various illustrations. In passages like Psalm 73, where in the New American Standard Bible, which is what I use on the overhead, it refers to the chain as a necklace or ornaments. And in the New Testament records incidents of the apostles of Jesus Christ being chained because of their preaching. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16, Paul appealed to the Lord for mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, as Paul endured his imprisonment. So I'd like to discuss this subject with you, but narrowing the focus of biblical chains onto the Apostle Paul, and I'd like to consider with you his attitude about wearing chains of imprisonment. You know from your Bible studies that Paul was imprisoned in chains at Rome. That's where he ended up. In Philippians 1 and verse 13, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And then in chapter 4 and verse 22 of the Philippian letter, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. So you see something interesting there that happens in the life of Paul because he was imprisoned and wearing these chains. Now, Paul could have spent his time in self-pity and complaint, but instead he rejoiced. And because of his rejoicing, he was an encouragement to other people to do the very same thing in Philippians 4 and verse 4. Now, you might ask the question, how in the world could the Apostle Paul be happy as a prisoner in chains? And that'd be a very good question. To begin with, these chains gave Paul contact with people who were lost and needed the gospel. And that's a great benefit. He was chained to a Roman soldier, probably for 24 hours a day. If historians are correct in this, the way Romans kept prisoners and to secure them so that they would not escape, they would be chained to a soldier. Now you might ask, what soldier would want to be chained 24 hours a day to a prisoner? But that's not the way it would normally work. You have someone come on for a certain period of time, say 6 hours if the historians are correct. So for 6 hours you'd be chained to a man, and then the guard would change and you'd be chained to someone else. And so during a 24-hour period, you might be chained to about 4 different guards. And day after day, over a period of 2 years, you can see the rotation of the number of guards that Paul would be chained to. And it would not be surprising if during this time some of those guards began to listen to the things that Paul was saying. He had visitors. He had visitors from Jewish leaders. He had visitors from other Christians wanting to serve his needs. Did he write letters? Were these guards privy to the conversations? If they were chained to Paul, they certainly were. They heard every word he said. And so the gospel began to have its influence even on the elite Praetorian Guard. These would be guards that were like imperial guards. They would be responsible for protecting the life of Caesar. It was an elite group of guards. And the scriptural record refers to people even in Caesar's household. So by that, you can see the spread of the gospel in places where it may never have gone had Paul not been a chained prisoner. And I think that's a good thing, don't you? When Christ is the center of your life, as was the case with Paul, Colossians 3 and verse 4, a prison cell can become a mighty pulpit, a place to speak forth the Word of God. So Paul's imprisonment became plainly recognized and clearly associated with Christ. So the gospel went through the barracks of the Roman soldiers, a place where it would not otherwise have readily spread if Paul had not been in a Roman prison. Secondly, the chains of Paul gave him contact with another group of people, the officials in Caesar's court. This was an important case. He was in Rome as an official prisoner. The Roman government was going to determine the official position, the official status of this new Christian sect. Was it merely an offshoot of the Jewish religion, or was it something new? Was it something possibly dangerous to the Roman Empire? They needed to investigate that. So imagine how pleased Paul must have been knowing that the court officials would be forced to hear something of the doctrine of Christ. That'd be something to rejoice greatly in. Wouldn't you be happy if senators and Congress people were captured in this room and couldn't leave for 2 hours and we had an opportunity to preach to them and teach them something about Christ? That put a big smile on my face. Would it you? Come on. Do I see any smiles out there? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? To open up doors of opportunity for the gospel of people who need to hear it. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, Paul wrote, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know, we may cower in fear sometimes and not speak as we ought to speak in settings where the gospel is needed and we have it. We may be afraid to do that sometimes. Paul may have had those same fears, but he's asking these brethren to pray on his behalf that he may speak boldly. I think that's wonderful. And these chains that Paul is wearing brings to my mind this type of situation. Sometimes God has put chains on people to put them in a certain position, so that they will be able to do something or say something that will bring glory to Him. Now think about that a little bit. Something that would advance God's cause that could not happen in any other way. There were men in Caesar's service that had honest and good hearts. How are those servants of the Roman Empire ever going to hear the gospel of Christ? Well, if God put a preacher of the gospel of Christ right in the middle of them, who was boldly courageous, they would hear it, wouldn't they? They'd have the opportunity. They just needed to be taught the gospel. How would it have happened? How would Joseph have ever arisen to a position? Do you think Joseph could have walked into Egypt and demanded an audience with Pharaoh and said, you know, I really need to be your second in command. I could bless these people greatly. He probably would have been killed as being a lunatic for something like that, wouldn't he? But what did God do with him? Brought him as low as he could go, and then raised him up internally through his chains of imprisonment. You know, some young mothers may feel chained when they are at home taking care of young children. But God can use those chains even to accomplish great things through her. There are families in historical records where the father has been out working 12 and 14 hour days in the fields so the family can eat. And young children in the home are taught the Bible. And when they grow into adulthood, they take the scriptures with them into their families, into other communities. And whole churches have grown as a result of those type of situations. Those mothers, in times when labor-saving devices weren't around and before the days of disposable diapers, wearing the chains of motherhood. A woman may feel chained to her unbelieving mate, but she's right in a place where God wants her to be because she is the opportunity for her husband to become a Christian, not so much by what she says, but by her manner of life. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. An employee may feel chained to a job that he does not like. But it's probably true that he has co-workers that need the gospel of Christ. And the Lord may have him in that position for that very purpose. And so that person needs boldness. That person needs courage to speak the word of God. At 6 weeks of age, Fanny Crosby was blinded. And even as a youngster, she determined not to be confined by the chains of darkness. In time, she became a mighty hymn writer whose songs are used in worship to God among God's people today. That's a pretty incredible story by itself. But the secret is this. When you have a single mind, what do I mean by that? Singly, sincerely, devoted to Christ. When you have that sort of a mind, you look on your circumstances, however difficult they may be, as an opportunity granted to you from God for the furtherance of the gospel. And you rejoice over this. At what God is doing instead of complaining about what God did not do. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, He has said to me, this is Paul writing to the Christians, the Lord said to him, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You and I don't think that way, do we? We're not accustomed to thinking that way. Most gladly, he goes on to say, therefore I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, isn't that exactly what we see when we look at Paul's imprisonment and wearing these chains? Don't we see the power of Christ working through him? I wish we had a roll of all the people of the city of Rome who were converted because Paul was there preaching the gospel, because I think it would be rather impressive to us. But I think it wouldn't be a stretch of our imagination to think about a large number of people who were converted by hearing the gospel by his lips. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, he goes on to say, "For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God." Notice, "For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you." Now, whenever you're low, and whenever you feel like life has you chained, you need to remember the power of God. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that converts people through the Word of God. It is a mighty power. You need to remember that. It will be helpful for you. Also, Paul's chains not only gave contact with the lost, but Paul's chains also gave great courage to those who were Christians. Many of the believers in Rome took fresh courage when they saw Paul's faith and determination. In Philippians 1 and verse 14, "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Now that is a great thing. The world has its way of making us afraid. The world has its way of making us cower down under fear. We're afraid now of upsetting someone, and so we will keep our lips closed when we need to speak the gospel to somebody. Fear has us cowered down. With these brethren, trusting the Lord and looking at Paul's imprisonment and considering his fate, he prayed for them that they have courage. And he said they have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's a blessing that you and I can take away from Paul's imprisonment. You know, discouragement has a way of spreading insidiously, doesn't it? Behind the scenes and under the pews and under the tables, and it kind of wraps around our lives like a vine. And it disables us. But encouragement has a way of spreading too. And that's my motivation for a lesson like this. Because of Paul's joyful attitude, the believers in Rome took fresh courage and spoke boldly for Christ in their everyday conversation. Now, when we think about the life of Paul, certainly he wasn't any type of hardened criminal, was he? He wasn't some type of revolutionary. He didn't have blood on his hands. He took up no weapons against anyone. And probably those guarding him realized this. And they were a little more relaxed in their responsibility of guarding him, seeing with their own eyes what type of person Paul really was. So his imprisonment had actually enhanced his standing in the sight of unbelievers, I think, don't you? And paved the way for the proclamation of the gospel to them. We all need the attitude of looking at our obstacles as opportunities given to us by God. We need to cultivate that habit, I think, a little bit more. And then secondly, Paul's example helps all who are in chains. Paul was able to be happy in chains because he established a good attitude. If we carry nothing away, then this, it would be beneficial for us. Strive to have a good attitude like Paul did. In Philippians 1 verse 19, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Christ will be exalted. What a great attitude he had. You know, the familiar adage that we hear sometimes, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. When life turns sour like a lemon, add a little fresh, pure water, cold water to it and some sugar, and you've got lemonade, something that's not quite as sour. And sometimes life hands us lemons. One can merely try to endure the situation, or one can try to find the good in it. That's the point. Since becoming a Christian, Paul had been given a wagon load of lemons. He endured much for the cause of Christ. Acts records a great deal of his mistreatment from chapter 9 all the way through chapter 23. But that's just a fraction of what he endured for the Lord. He mentioned more in cataloging them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Much suffering for the cause of Christ. And his latest humiliation had been wrongful imprisonment. He spent 2 years at Caesarea. And then after appealing to Caesar, he had been sent to Rome. And he stayed there for quite a while too. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he'd already been in prison for 2 years in Rome. Acts 28, Paul had longed to visit Rome as a preacher, but he probably didn't anticipate that he would be there as a prisoner in chains. But we need to learn to profit from his good attitude, don't you think? That'd be helpful to us. Secondly, Paul was able to be happy in his chains because he looked at the past with thanksgiving. Sometimes we get bogged down in regret. Sometimes that will lead to bitterness with us, looking at the past. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 3, I thank my God in my remembrance of you always, offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. If standard chronologies of the life of Paul are correct, he'd been associated with the church at Philippi for about 10 years. He had only fond memories of their association. Now, could you imagine this church, knowing human nature, knowing people, would you think that the reason Paul had fond memories of this church is because all the members were perfect? You wouldn't normally think that way, would you? There were a lot of good things about these brethren. He was always offering prayer for them, and every memory that he had of them was dear, and it evoked this gratefulness in him, but it doesn't mean that everyone there was a perfect Christian. He'd suffered and been mistreated at Philippi in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Acts 16. And further, the members of the Philippian church were not without their own problems. There were two women that were not getting along so well in chapter 4 and verse 2. So what then did Paul mean when he said that his memories were good? Well, maybe when he looked back on unpleasant events that had occurred in Philippi, he saw the good that came from them, which may strike a remembrance of Romans 8 and verse 28 in your mind. His wrongful imprisonment, it resulted in the conversion of the jailer and his household in Acts chapter 16, and his being forced to leave town had resulted in the preaching of the gospel in other places. And that's what they were alive for, preaching the gospel everywhere they could. And of course, Paul's pleasant memories were focused on the Christians in Philippi, and even regarding them, he had a selective memory, and he would dwell on the good things and on the positive things, Philippians 4 and verse 8. And one great memory that Paul had of them is the way that they, out of love for Christ, supported him in preaching the gospel. They had fellowship with him. They had a partnership in the work. They supported Paul's work in many ways, including not only financial support, but praying for him. He was especially thankful for the financial support, and in his longest discourse on giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, he used words like favor, gift, participation or fellowship, support, key words that indicate his attitude. Because of their common faith, the Philippians had shared what they had with Paul. Philippians 4, 15 and 16, and their sharing with Paul began even when Lydia, the convert that they had when they first arrived at this place, opened her home to him and his companions. It had continued to their latest gift brought to Rome for Paul from this church by Epaphroditus in chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 18. That's significant. He was happy in his chains because he looked to the past with thanksgiving. And then, thirdly, Paul was able to be happy in his chains because he looked at the present in confidence in God. Philippians 1, 6 through 8. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he tells the Philippians, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He began this work in you. He's not going to leave you out there stranded. He's not going to leave you without helpers. He's not going to leave you out there to find your own way. He will perfect the work in you. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, Paul says, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Oh, these brethren were dear to Paul, weren't they? In a world filled with uncertainty, couldn't you and I benefit from some of this type of confidence? Isn't it a wonderful thing to observe? Regarding confidence, sometimes it's very difficult to find the right balance. One who is overconfident may be somewhat obnoxious and overbearing with people. On the other hand, one who lacks confidence is usually his worst enemy, giving up before he even tries. Paul was happy in his chains because he was able to look at the present with this confidence in God. God began this work in them, and he's going to see it through to perfection, to maturity, to completeness. Because he was filled with confidence of who God is. He works in us, he told the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul had seen God at work everywhere he went, and especially in Philippi. And the Lord deserved praise for every good thing that had been accomplished. And then fourthly, Paul was able to be happy in chains because he looked to the future with prayer to God. Prayer to God. Philippians 1 beginning in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Look to the future with prayer. Isn't that a great lesson for us? He prayed that they would grow in love, this unselfish love that seeks the best for others. He next prayed that they would grow in real knowledge, comprehensive spiritual knowledge, the kind of knowledge that comes from knowing God and His will. And then he prayed that they would grow in their discernment, their perception, their understanding. The New International Version has that they would grow in their depth of insight. And that's in a spiritual context. A sign of maturity is the ability to make decisions. Hebrews 5 and verse 14 refers to the mature who, because of practice, have their senses exercised to be able to discern between good and evil. We need that, don't we? We need to be able to discern things that are good and things that are evil. Things that will benefit us as God's people, things that will harm us spiritually because the devil's behind it. We need to be able to distinguish between those things. And everything that Christians say and do should honor the Lord. Jesus said to live before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You remember the Lord saying that? Oh, there are a lot of things that we can think about when we think about the chains of Paul. But here's the application question this morning. Are you wearing chains? I don't see any literal chains. None of us are in the custody of our government. None of us have to report back to jail after the worship service is over. None of us are guarded 24 hours a day by someone. But I'm talking figuratively. Are you wearing chains today? Are chains bogging you down? If they are, this lesson is exactly what you need, because it tells you to have a good attitude, to look at the past with thankfulness, to look at the present with prayer, to look at the future with confidence. We can concentrate on the bad things that have happened into our lives, and you know what that'll do? It'll make us bitter. It will make us resentful. And you know what that does? That makes the devil very happy. If we become bitter, and we become resentful over people, over circumstances in life, over our own family members at times, those things are bad. Those things are directly out of the toolbox of Satan. We don't need that. We can remember good things and give thanks to the Lord and determine, choose to be happy. What is your attitude? What chains are you wearing today? Failing health? Serious medical problems? God is the answer. An unhappy marriage? Realizing you married the wrong person? God is the answer. Children who break our hearts? God is the answer. Job-related stress and difficulty? God is the answer. In Philippians 1, Paul shows us how to be happy wearing chains. And that's a practical lesson that every Christian needs in today's world. Whatever our challenges in life, we need to remember that if we are faithful children of God, we do not face those challenges alone. We have a mighty helper. Paul described the Lord as Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And we all need to remember what God starts, He finishes. He's never incomplete about anything. He never walks away in the middle of a job. And one of the secrets of happiness is to turn our lives, including all of our problems and whatever chains we're wearing, over to Him. He is wise. He is powerful. He has the answers, not me. Does that help you today? I hope that it does. I pray that it does. If our relationship with God is right and our attitude is right, the Lord will make sure that everything turns out to our good. And that's what I have to say about that. Thank you for listening to me today. I hope it's been helpful for you. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we're not asking you to do anything other than what the Scriptures command you to do. They command you to hear the Word of God. He's the Creator of all. He deserves to be heard. He deserves to be honored and respected. Hear His Word. Because if you hear His Word and you're a person striving to maintain the good and honest heart, His Word will produce in you faith in Jesus Christ. You'll come to believe that He is the Son of God and He should be honored and obeyed. And that's exactly what you will do. You'll repent of your past sins. You'll confess Him before men. You'll be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll strive to be faithful to Him all the rest of the days of your life, that you may live with Him forever. If that's your desire today, in responding to the invitation that Christ gave almost 2,000 years ago in His Word, we'll be happy to assist you with that if you'll come to the front and let me know about it. While together we encourage you by standing and singing the song selected, number 343. May God bless you.